From Northeast Public Radio, this is The Media Project, a weekly discussion about issues confronting the media.
Oh, newspapermen meet such interesting people. They know the lowdown, now it can be told. I'll tell you quite reliably off the record about some charming people I have known. For I meet politicians and grafters by the score, killers plain and fancy, it's really quite a bore. Oh, newspapermen meet such interesting people. They wallow in corruption, crime, and gore. Ting-a-ling-ling, city desk, pull the press, extra, extra, read all about it, it's a mess, meets the test. Oh, newspapermen meet such interesting people. It's wonderful to represent the press.
The Media Project has an opportunity this time to give you some commentary, analysis, and if we're lucky, even some insight into the media issues of the week. Good day to you all. I'm Rex Smith, editor of the Times Union. Here's Dr. Alan Shartok, the CEO of Northeast Public Radio.
What have you? No self-respect every week, Rex.
And here is Judy Patrick, the editor of the Daily Gazette
every
in Schenectady.
Week you say, and
how are
maybe.
You, it is, you know, wonderful to be back here between you two. Once again, you're at each other's throats, and we've only started rolling.
What can you do? It's just the way things go. Everybody has their role to play. Yours, Dr. Shartok, is just to be silent over there. You're good. You're good. Okay, so here we are. How are things in Schenectady? How are things in Schenectady? What is going on? What is the biggest thing you think that is on the minds of your readers these days?
Local news. We had a big mudslide. We have the functioning of the casino. But I think people in Schenectady, like everybody across the nation, is thinking today about this shooting in Florida.
The school shooting, yes, which will have been a few days in the past by the time folks hear this show, but it does just so dominate your thinking. And even when you run a local media enterprise the way we three all do, you have to pay attention to something that so overwhelms the national psyche, right?
You know, Rex, I have to say, after a while, you get inured to some of it, but not to this. It's too much.
Yeah, typically our A1 is local news, but today our cover was all about
and
this.
And the Berkshire Eagle, too. I think everybody sort of made that decision that there would be that jump. I tell you, something weird happened to me. I was sitting there watching the news with my wife, Roselle, and they were doing the story, and all of a sudden the tears were coming out of my eyes. And I got to tell you, that never happens. Never happens. I don't cry watching the news. Anybody in America has to be able to project whoever had a kid at school or a nephew or a niece or a grandchild that could be you, that mother could be or that father could be you.
So you respond to that, the immediate emotional impact, by making your coverage of the event. And then the question becomes, what do you do in the days that follow? And here's where I have a question that is hard to come up with. I have personal opinions. You know, we all have personal opinions about things, about what is appropriate, an appropriate response and what is not. And I've been having this feeling a lot during this Trump administration about my personal opinions when I personally feel as though there are some grave dangers.
Like the attack on the First Amendment.
Yeah. Just I actually
would
am worried
you have
about
actually
this,
talked about
the survival
it?
Of the Republic. I really am worried about our democracy
sure.
being imperiled. And I wonder if in trying to be fair in our coverage, bending over backwards to try to just be a fair broker of information, if I will, 20 years from now, say, why didn't I do more, you know, when I had this opportunity? But what do you do if you are so convinced that you're right and yet you know that your responsibility is to try to be as straight as can be? How
well,
do
you know, that? You know, Rex, Judy Patrick and I were sitting here waiting for you to come because we often do, waiting for you
to
finally
top.
Show up here. And Judy was saying one of the things that she really loves about now that she is moving on, retiring from being the chief of the Schenectady paper, of the Gazette, that she would be allowed to have opinions again.
And to express them, you know, you train yourself after decades in this business of not going there and to listening to all sides all the time. And actually, not, it's kind of intellectually lazy of me, I think. But on this gun control issue, I think, or on guns, I think what we tend to do is not really demand a full discussion of this. And I think that's something journalism can do. Let's talk about this more. Let's really understand our gun culture. Let's really understand the political positions that are driving this and really encourage our communities to have a discussion. I agree with you, Rex, about this idea of, you know, we get accused of bias. You know, we're the liberal media that doesn't include enough of the conservative viewpoints, but we do. And these stories that we are running about the administration, they're just facts. I mean, we stick to the facts. And I'm always trying to look at an alternative view. Like, maybe there is a valid side to this. Give it consideration, but you have to put the facts out there. And I think we are being a little too defensive.
Well, one of the things that I'm interested in is, you know, Rex is often very pious about this business of not offering opinions.
And justifiably so, just for the record.
Well, what are you, his lawyer? Okay, so he sits there and tells us that he doesn't really have opinions, and yet he does have opinions.
No, I said, I just said, I have personal opinions. That is actually contrary to what I have just said.
No.
I said, I have personal opinions. My concern is, how do I rectify my personal opinions with my responsibility to be as fair a broker of information as possible? That's what I said like 3 minutes ago.
Well,
you know, he's losing memory.
As Chewbacca might have said, no.
No. No. If you're listening to this on a podcast, I guess you can hit rewind and we can resolve this issue.
I know what he said, and I'm telling you now, here's Rex, who is, right, Rex? Yes or no? I don't want any more than a yes or no. The witness will answer on the editorial board of the Albany Times Union.
I am on the editorial board of my paper. I think Judy's on the editorial board of hers, too.
Well, first of all, is the Schenectady paper running editorials these days? Because in the old days, they didn't run editorials.
We run a local editorial every day.
Uh-huh. Okay. But
it's
you,
not that they didn't have editorials. They didn't endorse candidates
right.
for years.
Oh, I see.
That's
okay.
All.
So there you are, Rex, sitting there with your pious assertions here that you've had to be very careful about offering opinions, and yet you're an important person on that editorial board, and I'll bet sometimes those editorials represent your opinions.
The editorial page is different from the news coverage. And I still say that the issue is, how do we justify news coverage that tries to be so overtly fair? You know, oftentimes there aren't two equal sides in the
news. I couldn't
agree
more. Mm-hmm. I couldn't agree more. And we have this thing that we always refer to on this show as false equivalency.
Yeah.
Which always comes down to, you mean, what was the other side on the Holocaust? That there wasn't a Holocaust? I mean, come on. So you are absolutely right about that. But you're very, come on, Rex. When Rex gets mad at me, he starts to read the papers in front of me.
Well, no, I'm just looking at this front page of the New York Daily News, which says 18th school shooting in 45 days has happened nearly 300 times since Newtown. NRA buys politicians. This is the front page of the newspaper, the New York Daily News. Congress refuses to act. More kids are slaughtered. This is us, it says. And so, you know, the front page of a newspaper, even a tabloid, is usually supposed to be fairly straightforward about news coverage. The Daily News has abandoned that. The Daily News is saying, okay, we're saying we need to have gun control, which is a pretty easy thing to say in New York City. That's the viewpoint of most people in New York City. Upstate, if we did this kind of stuff on our front page, we would be roundly condemned because our readership is probably pretty evenly divided on the issue of whether we should control guns more.
Oh, now I see. I think I understand now, Rex, Chartok says with his tongue in his cheek. I think I understand. And that is, we should temper our opinions and our coverage based on what our audience wants.
Can you explain that to him, Judy?
You know, I think what his initial point was that the Daily News is using its A1 as its opinion section. And what we struggle with is our A1 or our standard news coverage, how to make sure that we are being fair and accurate, bending too far over backwards to present an alternative viewpoint that may have no merit. But in terms of representing our readers, sure. I mean, this is, especially when it comes to gun control, it's a really controversial, complicated issue.
Especially upstate where you go down the highway and you see repeal the Safe Act.
I mean, I'm sure that remains one of the reasons that Andrew Cuomo doesn't do well at upstate polling. Those people remember that legislation very well.
Notwithstanding the fact that the Safe Act does virtually nothing. It was really just in my opinion, something that was designed to draw political support from gun control advocates. Doesn't do very much. But on each side of the issue, people have gotten all energized. The people who are opposed to any kind of gun control believe the SAFE Act is terrible. I heard an AM radio commentator morning after the shooting just ranting, not about this issue, but about Andrew Cuomo and about how horrible he is and the SAFE Act being one of the key elements.
And he did it, Rex, I suspect, because it was right after Sandy Hook.
Exactly.
And he was, it's the one thing that I really thought he was right to do. And I wrote a column, and he called me up, and he said, I hear you said something good about me. How come? I said, I was just trying to confuse you, Governor. So there is the idea that he did something courageous. I don't really know what his motives were.
But the issue really comes down to how far do you go in trying to keep your news coverage fair when you believe in your heart you have certain strong feelings about certain issues. You know, I am absolutely convinced, of course, as is the intelligence community, that foreign power, who has been hostile to the United States for decades, is trying to influence our next election, and that they did influence the last one. And yet the White House absolutely refuses to concede that, even though all of the heads of all the intelligence agencies say that.
His own intelligence agencies, which he appointed.
Exactly. And so if you just simply cover both sides of that and pretend that the White House is not refusing to face accurate accounting of things, are you not complicit in the disinformation efforts at the head of our government?
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, I do agree with Rex, though, that when you look at, when history looks back at like the 20s and 30s and 40s and looks at news, and you look at the newspaper coverage, you're going, oh man, we got it wrong. You know, we played too much into McCarthy. You know, we bought too much into all of these things. And you do worry about what people 20 or 30 years from now are going to think about when they look at our papers.
I'm sorry, I didn't get
and
that.
Alan, you don't have that problem. People look back and say, yes, WMC, I mean, with all due respect, did stand up. I mean, I think you are being very clear about what you see as being the peril in the current turn of events in this country.
Alan is doing it, but not you the station. There's a big difference.
It's not as though you have equal number of voices on these issues just because your listenership does not demand it. Your listenership is more on a progressive bent, of course.
Well, it's not only our listenership. Rex, if you take a look at who's listening in Blue State, New York, who's listening to the radio, you're going to find it isn't only that one side is being portrayed. It is that it is reflective, I think, pretty much, of the feeling in New York State that things have gotten out of control with this particular president.
Well, you know, public radio, I think, is very important in the rural areas as well, where
That's right.
Do have strong support for the current president. So I imagine you do have listenership among
all. And when they say it, we read it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's true. I mean, I know that's true. I'm trying to say a nice thing to you. I mean, actually, you should feel.
And that must be very hard.
No, you will not have, I don't think, as much when your time is done doing this work. You won't feel as much concern as I'm feeling that you haven't done enough. I think you're doing what you can to stand up and say, listen, folks, pay attention. I wonder if by the constraints imposed by what kind of an organization, what the expectations are of a daily newspaper, I wonder if I will feel as though I've done enough. That's all.
Especially because you get criticism all the time from all sides.
Yeah.
Especially now. And you have to, like, the courage of your conviction to say, no, this is a valid story that needs to be on A1. No, that story doesn't belong on A1.
And I would point out to both of you, newspaper mavens, that where you put stories, what the lead of that story is, and how those stories are played compared to what you are editorializing about will show, and I'm sorry, Judy, and I'm sorry, Rex, will show where your hearts are.
Yeah, but it matters less and less what the play on A1 is, though.
Yeah, that's true, because, you know, so much of it is digital. And it's just people go for what they want. And
well, I read your newspaper every night digitally in the middle of the night. As soon as it comes, I say, what's Rex doing today to affect the body politic? No, I do. I read the Times every night in the middle of the night. I read, you know, your stories, Rex, because it's a very good newspaper. And I, of course, know that if the first thing that shows up, even digitally, the first thing is the most important thing.
Oh, that's not true. I mean, we post stuff as it's done, irrespective of that kind of thing. Now, we post stuff all the time. Sometimes, to our great frustration, it gets picked up by...
Because when I look...
TV.
When I get the paper itself,
when
digitally.
You get the paper. Oh, you get, the digital edition.
It's pretty easy
it's
to
a
see.
Replica of the newspaper is
yes,
what you're looking at.
It's pretty easy to see which is the most important story.
Well, it's a replica of the front page, yes. Yeah. That's easy to see.
Yeah, but you do, of course, send out occasional postings, which I tend not to read the same way I read
Oh, you
the
mean
paper.
News bulletins, yeah. I'm just talking about, we post all the time, all day long. Judy does too. You know, we're posting stories as we get them done. We do that irrespective of.
Now, you know, I love you both, and we've been doing this show for a long time, Rex, but you guys are so defensive.
We're not defensive. We're just
right. Accurate. We're just trying to tell you. We're trying to clarify what's true. Hey, we
you
actually.
Know, you would think after all these years, he would know this.
I know. It's very hard to teach a teacher, you know. We actually have a very thoughtful letter of criticism who says, please discuss this. Joe writes in, who is part of a group that has been protesting outside the office of Congresswoman Elise Stefanik over the past year. He's worried that the media has not been reporting these protests. He says that they've been protesting at her Glens Falls office, Glens Falls Hospital, other parts. For the most part, the media, including TV stations, WAMC, the TU, Postar, Saratogian Gazette, and others, and weeklies, have simply ignored these protests. We've had vigils, speakouts, marches, press conferences, street theater performances, carol singing, etc. And so he's raising the question, what about the media neglecting to report on the resistance to Trumpism here in the New York 21st District?
So there you are. Here's Alan, who has an opinion, which some people say is too anti-Trump. And we get a letter saying, specifically referencing us, from somebody who says, AMC doesn't do enough. Especially since you've just excoriated me in the worst possible way, Rex, for being too one-sided and ignoring my public charter.
I think Joe, is the writer, is concerned that we're not covering his protests.
His protests.
The local aspect. He says, on WAMC, on the roundtable, and other programs, we hear discussion about the Trump administration's outrageous assaults on democracy and working class America, but not so much about Trump's enablers like Representative Stefanik, who is part of the House Intelligence Committee's efforts to undermine the FBI Trump-Russia investigation. So should we be doing more about that?
You know, we cover protests once in a while. If you have protests too frequently, they become not news.
And it is not hard, actually, to get a couple dozen people to get together for protests. So that
I've had them out in front of this building.
Absolutely. So, you know,
there's probably a protest somewhere today.
It is interesting that, I mean, and it's hard to say, you know, we make judgments, yes, about what is newsworthy and what is not. And sometimes a demonstration in front of the state capitol with 1,000 people may not be worthy of coverage. Or hold the phone. And yet, because we know that those people can be summoned easily by the forces that just pay for their buses to come up from the city. But we do, during the run-up to the Iraq War, we were very aggressive in covering local protests. We thought that was important.
Because it was unusual.
Yes.
And it was timely. Shortly after the Trump inauguration, there were protests. The women's marches we covered, those were unusual. We will occasionally cover one of these standard protests. But, you know, it's also a matter of timing. I think the last protest that we were told about was a Friday night, a heavy night for local basketball. I got to make a decision.
Sure, basketball, and you would have been criticized severely had you left out the basketball.
You know, you have to make decisions. And, in the old days, maybe we would have had the opportunity to send somebody up there. I mean, there are many other ways to express dissent. Write a letter to the editor, write an op-ed piece.
I mean, it's an interesting question. I do know that in my area of the woods, which is Berkshire County, Massachusetts, there's been a major upset about whether the local museum, the Berkshire Museum, should be allowed to sell its prized Rockwell paintings. I certainly had a very strong opinion that they should not, and as a columnist, I have made that clear. There were lots of protests in front of the Berkshire Museum, and to the credit of the Eagle, they covered them.
Every single one?
No.
Well, I think that's the point. And of course they would cover that, but I mean, I think it is just hard for people who believe that they are doing the right thing, believe that we need to be covering it. And we, A, don't have the resources to cover everything. B, you know, for us, at least at our news organizations, all of ours here, the three of us, we have multiple congressional districts that we cover. And
absolutely.
So you can't cover a demonstration in every one. I think there's probably a situationer to be done. That's a term that we tend to use on local protests, how it is not just about Elise Stefanik, it's about John Faso, it's about any other members of Congress. What is the feeling? How does the Trump affect their races?
Rex, if I could just say very quickly, we have a program called Congressional Corner in which we interview every one of these people. And as soon as there's a primary and there's an opponent, we interview people on both sides. But I still get mail saying, how dare you put John Faso on the radio, who is the congressman, the sitting congressman. Huh. I don't hear that about the Democrats, but I do hear that about John Faso. It's ridiculous. I mean, you know, the fact of the matter is, We're doing our jobs.
You know, and we could go to a protest and take a photo of people with signs and put it in the newspaper. But a story like the one you talked about, Rex, that really get into the issues and how many people are protesting, that's a story that actually people will read and take in. The one-shot photo of a protest doesn't really do much.
It'll make the protest organizers feel better, but it doesn't really illuminate things for your readers.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, no, I don't think so. I think if the tree falls in the woods and nobody sees it fall or hears it fall, it doesn't happen. I think it's Joe's point is extremely well taken, which is if we cover it, more people will know about it.
Also, if you have it on a public street, a lot of people who drive by will see the protest. I think many of these protests are aimed just at that. I mean, I think there used to be a Wednesday noontime protest every day every week at the Capitol for peace. And these people were there, you know, just so the people going by would see it. They didn't expect coverage every
True.
Week.
True. The protest outside Planned Parenthood offices when they used to be in downtown Troy, that was routine. It was there
but
all the time.
But if they got coverage, they would have loved it.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
That's why they were doing it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, they were doing it in order to try to get coverage. And so I can understand why it's frustrating to the organizers. But the broader story is the story that we have to tell. And that's kind of where we began this conversation about how, in telling that story, are you doing it enough? Are you paying enough attention to the issues that are really important?
Okay, and I just want to say, if I've said anything to offend you, as always, Rex, I want to apologize. And I accept your apologies for putting me down the way that you did on the show.
Thank you, Alan. It's very kind, and likewise, of course. Judy, did we end up okay here?
Ooh, a little bloodied, but we're okay.
Okay. Our producer, David Gustina, is here telling us it's time to go. We thank you for joining us on The Media Project.
Get out.
They know the lowdown, now it can be told. I'll tell you quite reliably off the record about some charming people I have known. For I meet politicians and grafters by the score. Killers plain and fancy, it's really quite a bore. Oh, newspapermen meet such interesting people. They wallow in corruption, crime and gore. Ting-a-ling-ling, city desk, pull the press, extra, extra, read all about it, it's a mess, meets the test. Oh, newspapermen meet such interesting people. It's wonderful to represent the press. Now you remember Mrs. Sadie Smuggery. She wanted money to buy a new fur coat.
The Media Project is a production of WAMC Northeast Public Radio. Alan Chartok is CEO of WAMC, Professor Emeritus at the State University of New York, commentator, columnist, and author. Rex Smith is editor of the Times Union. And Judy Patrick is the editor of the Daily Gazette. You can listen to or podcast The Media Project anytime at WAMC.org or just download the WAMC app for your iPhone or Android at the Play Store today. Thanks for listening.
Oh, the press, extra, extra, read all about it. It's a mess, meets the test. Oh, newspapermen meet such interesting people. Like the richest girl who could not bake a cake. Ding-a-ling, ding-a-ling, ling-a-ling, ling. Now, newspapermen are such interesting people. They used to work like hell just for romance. But finally, the movies notwithstanding, they all got tired of patches on their pants. They organized a union to get a living wage. They joined with other actors upon a living stage. Now newspapermen are such interesting people. When they know they've got a people's fight to wage. Ting-a-ling-a-ling, newspaper guild, got a free new world to build. Meet the people, that's a thrill, all together fits the bill. Oh, newspapermen are such interesting people. It's wonderful to represent the guild. Now, newspapermen meet such interesting people. They know the lowdown, now it can be told. I'll tell you quite reliably off the record about some charming people I have known. For I meet politicians and grafters by the score. Killers plain and fancy, it's really quite a bore. Oh, newspapermen meet such interesting people. They wallow in corruption, crime and gore. Ting-a-ling-a-ling, city desk, pull the press, extra, extra, read all about it, it's a mess, meets the test. Oh, newspapermen meet such interesting people. It's wonderful to represent the press. now. Publishers are such interesting people. Their policy is an acrobatic thing. They claim to represent the common people. It's funny, Wall Street never has complained. Ah, but publishers have worries, for publishers must go to working folks for readers and to big shots for their dough. Now publishers are such interesting people. It could be prostitution, I don't know. Ting-a-ling-a-ling, circulation, ting-a-ling-a-ling, advertising, get those readers, get that payoff. What a headache, what a mess. Oh, publishers are such interesting people. Let's give free cheers for freedom of the press.